Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. This week brings me down to Los Angeles, so if you happen to be in the greater Burbank area, be sure to let me know so I can studiously avoid you. What happened last week in the world of AWS? Excellent question. I'm glad I asked it in your voice. But first, I'd like to tell you about Chaos Search. That's right, spelled in all caps. They can find anything except the caps lock key to turn it off when typing their own company name. They've done something brilliant here, which is separating out compute from storage when it comes to searching large quantities of data. With APIs you know and love, or at least tolerate, the data lives in your own S3 bucket. We'll talk a bit more about what they can do in a couple of minutes, but first, let's get right to what AWS has done this week. Amazon DocumentDB with MongoDB compatibility adds $object to array, $array to object, $slice, $mod, and $range aggregation pipeline operators. I don't know what those are, so instead I choose to believe that the actual parameters that they've just added failed to properly populate in the AWS press release talking about it, and that's just default variables. Amazon EBS increases limits on fast snapshot restore and expands availability to additional regions. That's great. Have they fixed the hideously expensive pricing model for it yet, though? Of course they haven't. Amazon EC2 adds the ability to easily query the billing information of Amazon Machine Images, or AMIs. Without even clicking into this article, I already know that easily query and billing information in the same sentence make this entire release headline a complete lie. Amazon ECS now supports tagging for task sets. Untangling container-based workflows from a cost allocation perspective just got a bit easier. That is not to be confused, however, with the term easy. Easier, yes, but there's still very far to go. Amazon Elastic Container Service has added support for Canary deployments. Now, we're going to wait until people test this out to tell us whether this is an actual canary or just a parakeet with a delusion of grandeur and a fancy hat. Amazon Polly launches Brand Voice, which is fascinating. You wind up paying a non-determinate amount of money, and they build a custom voice that can do all kinds of interesting things. I'm very interested to learn exactly what that price would be, because I have an obnoxious platypus that desperately needs a computer voice. Amazon QuickSight launches enhancements to Narrative Editor and Anomaly Detection. With luck, that narrative editor can be used to change QuickSight's own narrative, which currently stands as Amazon QuickSight is like an affordable version of Tableau, except it's crap. I'm really hoping Amazon can improve QuickSight more quickly than Salesforce can ruin Tableau. What ruins your budget faster than Salesforce can ruin Tableau? Whatever crap-ass solution you're currently using for your log analytics. This gets back to what Chaos Search is fantastic for. If you deal with the log analytics solution, you know that there's generally a few problems in this space. Ignore entirely the complexity and overhead of managing whatever it is you're using. There's the fact that it's expensive. You generally wind up paying per storage, so you're actively incentivized to get rid of things as soon as humanly possible just because of sheer cost around it. The pricing model is a bit different when all that data lives in your own S3 buckets. We know what S3 costs. Spoiler, not very much. And there are ways to make it cost even less. The query engine of Chaos Search lives in containers that run alongside those buckets. You can scale storage as far out as you want, or you can scale up the querying ability regardless and independent of the amount of data that you have. It's just the only thing in this space I've seen that does this in a way that makes sense, as opposed to trying to do what everyone else is doing badly. My thanks to Chaos Search for their generous support of this ridiculous podcast. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io and tell them Corey sent you. Amazon RDS Data API now supports AWS PrivateLink but AWS still stubbornly insists on pronouncing the term API as API. Amazon RDS Performance Insights supports SQL-level metrics on Amazon RDS for MySQL. And they had the identical article, but replaced the word MySQL with MariaDB. They tried to get me to talk about it twice. There were two releases saying the exact same thing. I have condensed them into one for your convenience. I'm here for you, podcast listener. Amazon Redshift now supports per-second billing. While it is nice to see the billing model falling in line with what EC2 is doing, I am completely unconvinced that this matters at all. Rapid spin-up and spin-down of EC2 instances is very much a thing in certain environments. Rapid anything with Redshift is basically not. Amazon VPC flow logs now support 1-minute aggregation intervals. VPC flow logs fail to support any sort of analysis solution that's first party, meaning that you have to do a whole bunch of nonsense, be it custom tooling or a vendor-provided solution, to turn VPC flow logs into anything even remotely actionable. They're there to confuse you and soak up money. Announcing AWS Ground Station cross-region data delivery in only two regions, both located in the United States. This is one of those, maybe scale it to a few more regions before making a big deal about it, folks, type of releases. We see those from time to time, and we call them out when we do. AWS AppSync releases integration with AWS X-Ray and GraphQL Info Object Support. We're all learning new things all the time. For example, last week I learned that GiraffeQL isn't really about giraffes at all, while AppSync learned that X-Ray is a real AWS service that exists. AWS CodeBuild adds support for Amazon EFS, and this is freaking huge, and it completely changes my narrative from EFS is for legacy NFS workloads only, meaning it's crap and don't use it, and suddenly opens the door for CodeBuild, which is a completely serverless build service, to have persistent data between runs. I'm already imagining possibilities for dramatically improved build times, intelligent reduction of meaningless work on just about every build I'm doing, and a brighter future. More things like this, please. This is huge, and of course, they're not telling a good story about it yet, leaving it to me. AWS RoboMaker supports pseudo access inside robot and simulation applications at runtime. How the hell is sudo going to interplay with the three laws of robotics? AWS Storage Gateway is now available on Linux KVM Hypervisor. Now, AWS Storage Gateway supports basically every hypervisor or hypervisor-like option except shoving the thing into Docker, and I'm already regretting having just given them that idea. Cloud9 launches support for tagging new and existing environments. I was hoping for a few other enhancements to come to Cloud9, but I'll take this one. It indicates that the service hasn't been completely abandoned and left to rot. I have such dreams for what that service could become. Now rerun commands with AWS Systems Manager run command in just a few clicks. The days of, oh, your attempt failed, retry it after you enter in all of the data you just did on the failed run. Manually. Again. For the service that handles updating of control tower accounts, you need this too. I have to type in everything you already know. Knock it off. Customer obsession. AWS cost and usage report technical documentation. It's awesome when you spend ages learning things by reading the tea leaves to get to a point of mastery, which is what I had to do to figure out the cost and usage reports. It's way more awesome when they fix the documentation around that thing so the next person won't have to struggle nearly so hard. This is a welcome release written by Aaron Carlson, who is wonderful, works on the billing team, and as a bonus, find this article, give it a look. She has an enormous floofy dog that made it into the post. You have to see how sarcastically floofy this dog is. I'm serious. EC2 price reduction in the Sao Paulo region for R5 and I3 instances. I don't understand that I3 instances are already so inexpensive. How could they possibly get an... Oh, right. Sao Paulo, the land of every resource being way more expensive. New desktop client for AWS Client VPN. AWS talked to many, many customers about what features they'd love to see AWS focus on. Then they misplaced the notebook with all of that customer feedback, shrugged, and instead released an OpenVPN desktop client with the justification of a lot of existing OpenVPN clients are hard to manage and don't support esoteric authentication options instead. Meanwhile, Amazon Chime remains Amazon Chime and hasn't been updated with useful features in far too long either. But nope, we get a custom new OpenVPN client. Yay. And lastly, build ARM-based applications using CodeBuild. I'm continually amazed by how little work it takes to get something that was built for an x86 architecture working on ARM. And that's great because I'm profoundly lazy. This aligns perfectly with my interests. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn coming at you from San Francisco, but this week, Los Angeles. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review in iTunes. If you hated it, please leave a 5-star review in iTunes and tell me what my problem is. In return, I promise to pretend to care.
This has been a HubblePod production.
Stay humble.